20 years, he is knocking at the door of the church and said, if you will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will dine with you, I will sup with you, I will have fellowship with you. This morning, the Lord wants us to hear him calling us to a place in him. I believe this morning, if you're hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking, including myself, I'm speaking to myself. My prayer is that I will hear the voice of the Lord even as I speak. That he will take me to a place in him this morning that I've not gone before. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. And somebody read verse 2 for me. Genesis 22 and verse 2. Genesis 22 and verse 2. Can somebody read that for me, please? The first place he wants us to take this morning as a church is a place of offering. Abraham left his family. Abraham left his father's house. Abraham left everything. He waited for 27 years for a promise. We live in a society where we are used to drive-throughs. We are used to microwave. We are used to instant. Everything has to happen at the moment. Whereas Abraham waited for a promise for 27 years and he got the promise and he made mistakes in the path and Ishmael was born. Yet God wanted him to go to a place called Moriah and he said, I will show you the mountain. And he said, are you willing to lay Isaac down at the altar? There is a place in him where you cannot even take certain things with you. You got to lay it at the altar. The very thing that God gave. See, God gave to Abraham. His wife was barren. Think with me, process with me. How would it be for Abraham to say, I walked with you, I talked with you, you came to the tent, you told me that my wife will be pregnant when she's 99, and now you're asking me to lay Isaac down on the altar? Are you gone crazy, God? Let me tell you this, there are places in God where God wants you to go this morning with him, saying, will you lay your Isaac down at the altar? A child that he loved, whom he loved, is what the Bible says, the only child. And he was a son of promise. And this morning, I don't know who I'm speaking to. There are quite a number of places we will go this morning, but it'll hit you. And God is saying, are you willing to lay your Isaac down? And he had to lay Isaac down at the altar, and it became the place. A place of obedience, a testing place of obedience where he obeyed and the providence of God came forth. Turn with me to the second place. First Kings chapter 17 and verse 9. Somebody read it for me, please. First Kings chapter 17 and verse 9. Could somebody read that for me quickly? 1 Kings 17 and verse 9.
Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.
The second place that I want you to take you this morning in a journey with him, into him, is a place called Zarephath. You know what was told for him there? Dwell there. There is a place called dwelling in that place. God wants you to get to a place in him where he wants you to dwell in that place. See, the prophet, and he speaks to him and saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. There are places in God where the church has to dwell. We all know that we are waiting this morning. We've been singing songs of waiting. Why? Because that's the desire of God. God wants his body. God wants his people to dwell in him. The Bible says in John, when his word dwells in us and I dwell in him, we bear much fruit. There's a dwelling place. There is a place called there where you got to dwell. There is a place called there where you have to offer Isaac. There is a place where you have to dwell in the tents of the Lord. Oh, in the presence of the Lord. When Moses went up to be up in the mountain, the Bible says he came down, but Joshua continued to dwell in the mountain in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you. It is one of my biggest difficulties because I'm moving, doing so many things, busy. It is so difficult for me to dwell. Probably you all do better than me. But there is a place that God wants you to dwell. My question this morning is, are we dwelling in that place where he has asked us to dwell? Or are we busy doing something? See, there is a place where you got to go, climb the mountain, lay Isaac down. But there is a place in him where you come. He wants you to dwell in that place. He wants you to rest in that place. Turn with me to Ezekiel 3. Somebody read Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 for me, please. Ezekiel chapter 15. No, chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. Can somebody read that quickly?
Then I came to the captives at Tel Abib, who dwelt by the river Chebar. And I sat where they sat and remained there, astonished amongst them 7 days.
For 7 days, the prophet sat where the people sat, and he remained where? There. There are places in God. There are places in God in a journey with him. He wants us to remain in that place. Pastor Obi probably taught you all. There is a place called in prayer where you cannot utter a word. There are places in prayer when you go deeper with God, you cannot even utter a word. There are places in God you have to remain, because what you utter on your own will become a bondage for you. You got to be in the Spirit, and only that which the Spirit speaks, you got to speak. You cannot dare speak anything. There are places in God where you have to remain. Imagine Prophet Ezekiel taken by the Spirit into the river Cherub, and he sat where the people sat, and he just listened. He remained. God wants us this morning, church, don't just go with me to only places to offer, but he wants you to journey with him to a place called there where you will dwell. Everybody say, I want to dwell. You want to dwell in the tents of the Lord, where the presence of the Lord is. He hides us in the secret place of the Almighty God, under the wings of the shadow of the Almighty. That is the place in worship. In the secret place of worship, you'll get to a place where you will know him intimately. There's nothing that matters. You're just lost in the love of God. You're just lost in the presence of God. Oh my goodness, nothing matters to you but to be with him, to look into his eyes, to gaze into him, and just lost in the beauty, because out of that comes renewal, out of that comes strength, out of that comes everything that you need in life. But the problem with us as a church is we are not dwelling where we are supposed to dwell. We are busy running around, and that's why we don't have the strength what we need to do. God is calling us this morning, come with me to a place where you will be lost that you will just dwell and remain. You will just drink. You will just eat. You will just, what you see is him. What you hear is him. What you perceive is him. Everything is in him and of him and through him. And you're lost in him. That he becomes you and you become him. And then there is no difference. You become one with him. There is a place called there. And he did not have a wealthy man or a wealthy woman to feed or take care of him. You know what the Bible says? He had a widow there. The problem with us is when God tells us to go to a place, when God tells us to go to a place, we in the natural try to calculate things, how things will have to work out, and we miss out that he has got a widow to take care of you when you look, when your eyes are set on somebody else. This morning, the Church of America is not where it needs to be because we have set our mind in places where he has not ordained things to come for us. Can we as a church go to that place where we can dwell? I don't want to take much of your time. Quickly, let's go to this. Another scripture here. 1 Kings 17 and verse 4. Somebody read it for me, please. 1 Kings 17 and verse 4. Okay, and it shall be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you where? There. Everybody say there. See, if you don't understand that God has places, and here it says, I will feed you there. Not only there you will offer sacrifices to God, not only a place called there where you will dwell, and in him there are places where he will feed you, but he will, it says he will cause, he has commanded the ravens. The problem with us is we are looking somewhere else. He has commanded someone else to feed you. See, you will never know and understand unless you have learned to dwell in the presence of God. Let me tell you this. When Moses was in the back of the desert, it is customary in that part of the world for bushes to burn. How is that, that one bush that burned that caught his eye? How is that? He knew there was something supernatural about it. Why? Because he has learned to go to the mountain of the Lord. See, you have to get acquainted with him. You have to know him. You have to walk with him. That's when you will know where he has commanded, who he has commanded, where he wants to feed you. My question is, are we there as a church in a place called there? We are fed. Hello? Are you listening? Are we in a place called there where you and I are fed? Or are we in a place called there we are starving? I'm not talking about pastor teaching from the pulpit here. I'm not belittling that office, or I'm not saying that's not it's supposed to be. But there is a place in them where you get fed directly from God. You come to the house of God full already. Hello? You come to the house of God because you have your secret place with him every day, and you are fed already daily every day. You don't need to call the pastor and say, I need prayer. You already prayed up. You don't come to the house of God because you need help. You already full of the God, full of the Lord, because you've gone with him places and you are walking in the fullness of God. Let's go to the fourth scripture that I have here. Turn with me to Psalms 132. Psalms 132. And verse 17. Can somebody read that for me, please? Psalms 132 and verse 17.
There I will cause a horn to sprout up for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed one.
Beautiful. My translation says like this. There, I told you a place called there. In that place called there, he says, I will make the horn of David grow. See, there are places where things happen, not in every other places. You got to know the places exactly for what. If you want tomatoes, you got to go to a place where tomato seed has been planted. If you want eggplants, you cannot go to the tomato seed and say, give me eggplants. There are places where if you want McDonald's, you want a Big Mac, where do you go? Not to Burger King or to Harvey's. We know where to go. Right? We know exactly where to go for what. If you want best iced tea, you know where to go. You go to Panera Bread for a soup, particular kind of soup. Why? Because you know that's what you get. That is how it is in the kingdom of God. There are places, the Bible says, there I will cause the horn of David to grow. There is a place called there in him where you will grow. If you're not in that place, you will be struggling to grow. Are you there? Are we there yet? Hello? Are we there? Ask yourself a question. Ask myself a question. There I will cause the horn of David to grow. Am I in that place in my life where I need to be, where my horn is growing? Or am I a grown-up adult wearing a diaper? Or am I a grown-up adult carrying a bottle to suck on? Hello? The problem is because I have not found that place in him. There I will cause the horn of David to grow. God wants us to be mature. I want to tell you, people of God, church, hear me, Mount Zion Prayer Center, there are kingdom business that you have to grow, you have to do. But in order for that to happen, it is not on the man of God's shoulders, it is on your shoulders. Are you there? Are you there? If your horn is not grown full, mature, you cannot do what God has put as an assignment on this body. You as individuals, members of the body of Christ, you have to get to a place called there where you are. The horn there represents the government of King, government of David. That's what it means. The government of David was growing because he was in that place where he needs to be. If you are not in that place where he needs to be, the government will not grow. If that is the case, the assignment of that which God has put on this Mount Zion will be in trouble. That's why I said in the beginning, it is your time. It is your time, provided you and I are in that place called there. Quickly, turn with me. Two more references and we'll finish. Just bear with me. Turn with me to Genesis 19 and verse 22. Lord, I'm hungry, Lord. Oh, I'm thirsty, Lord. Take me to that place. Take me to that place. That I might grow. That I might dwell. Take me that I might dwell. It's been too long. I've been lingering, Lord, it's been too long. Are you there? Genesis 19. And read, somebody read verse 22 for me, please.
That is why the town was
called. Okay, read it now with the microphone. I want everybody to hear what the Lord is speaking here this morning.
Mm-hmm. But flee there quickly, mm-hmm. because I cannot do anything until you reach it. That is why the town was called Zoar.
My translation reads like this. Hurry. Escape there. a place called there, a place of escape. And then it says, hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you, everybody say, arrive. Until you arrive there. What is that place called there? You know what's a place? It's called Zoar. Am I right? It's the name of the city, Zoar. You know what Zoar means? Zoar means little or insignificant. You know what God was telling Lot? Hurry, escape from Sodom, and I cannot do anything until you arrive to a place where you are little or you are insignificant. I hope you heard what the Lord is speaking this morning. The problem with us, with American dream, the problem with us as Western mindset is that we want it all big. Hello? We have taken this out of context. Less is no more, bigger or greater. But the Bible says here, I cannot do anything until you... I want everybody to turn your scriptures because it's very important. In your own personal life, you will see a revelation of God come forth in this. Read that scripture. Meditate. It says, until I, John, Peter, arrive at Zoar, which is little, insignificant. You know what happens when I am belittled or when I'm in the place of little, insignificant? My flesh rises up. Hello? My flesh wants prominence. My flesh desires importance. I want to walk into a place where I feel welcomed, treated like a king. My flesh is feeling good. But the Bible says, when you get to a place like that, he cannot know. He wants you to get to a place till you arrive. You know something? Going to a place is different. But arriving at a place is, you are there physically, emotionally. You are there. You are arrived there. That means you are present. You understand your circumstances, where you're at. That is where God wants the church to be. A place where you are little in your own eyes. And you are insignificant in the eyes of God. So that when he does something, you know what happens? It is not John Peters, it is God who did it. It's something happened to Gideon. God said, I will give Midianites in your hands. He had 33,000 people. God said, I'm going ahead of myself for the next one. Turn with me there. Judges chapter 4, 7 and verse 4. Judges chapter 7 and verse 4.
Then the Lord said to Gideon, you still have too many men. Take them down to the water and I will separate them for you there. If I tell you a man should go with you, he will go. If I tell you a man should not go with you, he will not go.
What does he say there? I will do what? Chapter 7 and verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. I thought about this and said, what in the world is God trying to do here? The more is better. Hello? How many of you with me? Am I the only one who feels like that? I feel more means plenty. That's great. Abundance. Oh, God bless me. Glory to hallelujah. Our praises go up. Our prayer goes up. Our shouting goes up when we have too many. But here God says, you got too many. I cannot take care of kingdom business with too many people. Hello? Are you with me? Everybody who's sleeping, say hallelujah. Let's read it again. It's 7:4. It says, but the Lord said to Gideon, everybody say, the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many to bring them down to the, and he says, bring them to the water and I will test them for you where? There. Everybody say there. Where is there? I don't know. Ask the Lord. I don't have answers. There is a place where God wanted Gideon to bring the people to test them. It says, bring them to the waters. You know, many times we think, you know, God always takes us to pleasant places where there is honey, money, and iced tea. Are you hearing me? We feel great because we are talking about abundance. We're talking about plenty. But God said, I will take you to waters. People of God, hear this carefully. God will take us as a church to the place of waters to see who will drink water and how you drink water. Are you prepared for warfare or not? Those who are not prepared, God says, go back home. Hello? Are you listening? Are you going to lick the water? Or are you going to put your knee into the water and not see? You know what was the technique there? God was looking, who's got the high eyes looking on the enemy, not on the water. There I will test them and I will separate the ones who need to go with you. People of God, the church has got to be in a place. Gideon, it was looked like in the natural, Gideon was going backwards, but God said, yes, I'm taking you backwards to a place called nothing, to a place called insignificant, and the enemy was too numerous, but God says, when you arrive at that place, in the process of arriving, you will get to a place called there where you will test you by the waters. And said, now you got less number of people, I will give the Midianites in your hands. You know why? I always use this phrase. Let me use this. God is into himself. Are you listening? Did you listen? If you are into himself, you are in trouble. Only person on earth, on heaven, and anywhere who can be into himself is God. It's all about him. Did you realize that? It's all about him. So he will bring anybody down so that he can be lifted up. Because it is about the head, not about the body. Are you listening? It is not about the body. It's about the head. Are we coming together so the head will be glorified? Are we coming together that the body will be glorified? Are we coming together so that Mount Zion will be known? Or are we coming together that the God of Mount Zion will be known? Let me give a last reference and I want to finish. Turn with me to Exodus. Not Exodus. Yes, Exodus 15 and 25. Exodus 15, 25.
Moses prayed earnestly to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, which he threw into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord gave them laws to live by, and there he also tested them.
And there he also tested them by Marah, the place where the water was bitter. And read 26 for me, please. Same chapter, verse 26.
Ed, if you will obey me completely by doing what I consider right and by keeping my commands, I will not punish you with any of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians. I am the Lord, the one who heals you.
This place of testing, called a place called there, is a place of revelation. Are you listening? This place called there is a place where he revealed his own name, saying, I am that I am, to Moses. And here he says, I am the God who healeth thee. There is a place where he wants you to go so that you can sacrifice, offer burnt offerings. There is a place where he wants you to go so that you can dwell. There is a place where he wants you to go so that you can be fed. There is a place called there he wants you to go so that you can grow. There is a place called there where he wants you to arrive, absorb, be little, insignificant, so that he can be glorified. There is a place called there where he will test you by the waters. And there is a place called Marah where he will reveal himself to you. So I want you to just close your eyes. Can we play that song, I am the Lord that healeth thee? And I want you to search your own heart, your own place in a journey with God. Where we are at, are we there to grow? Are we there to offer Isaac? Are we there where he is revealing? How would you like if Jesus would come and reveal himself to you and say, this is my name. I am the deliverer. I am your healer. I am your provider. I pray this morning by the Spirit of the Lord that you will get to that place. You to a place where you need to lay Isaac down. Probably you need to be at a place called there where your horn can grow. Probably you're fighting at the waters when God is trying to test you. Don't fight him. Yield to God and say, God, I surrender. He wants to take you to a place where he wants to reveal himself to you. Say, I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your sustainer. I am your strength. I am your shield. I am your buckler. I am your father. I am your mother. I am your family. You will never be alone. I'm always with you. It could be that he is causing us to come to a place, arrive at a place where we can be little, be insignificant, that the God of this universe can be big.
Who heal your disease? I am Lord, your healer.
Stand, we all stand upon our feet and just look to God for a moment and say, God, help us to get to that place. I don't know about you people, I am in a place where I need God to take me by his hand. You know what my prayer is? God, grab me by my hand and take me. Oh, like Lot, the angel said, run, flee to that place of escape. I believe by the Spirit of the Lord this morning, there are some of you in places where God is saying, run and flee from that place. You've been lingering for too long by the borders. Some of you are dwelling by the borders. God is saying, you're too close to sin. The Lord is saying, run. I don't know who I'm speaking to. There are a couple of people in this room. The Lord is speaking to you. You cannot play with fire. You cannot stay by the border. The Lord is saying, come away into myself. Oh, Jesus. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great.